gospel reading is the text is the gospel reading from St. John. The next day, John was there again, and two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. "Where have you gone, Saint Andrew?" This title is a play on the Simon and Garfunkel line, "Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio?" That was their way of lamenting in the 60s the loss of the heroes of the 40s and the 50s. At first, DiMaggio was put out by that line, saying that though he retired in 1951, he was still here in 1968. Likewise, the festival of St. Andrew has always been on the Lutheran Church calendar, but I've never celebrated it, and probably neither have you, because it frequently falls on the first Sunday of Advent and is sometimes in it. So, having found St. Andrew today, just what have we found? X marks the spot. You know that expression from treasure maps. But in St. Andrew's case, it might not. The symbol of St. Andrew is the saltire, or the X-shaped cross. While ancient church history knows where and about when he was martyred on a cross, it wasn't until the 13th century that an X-shaped cross was mentioned. The Dictionary of Saints says, "Anything beyond what the Bible records about Andrew is very unreliable." That's probably why he's the patron saint of six countries and more. There is an apocryphal work called The Acts of St. Andrew, and that dates to the early 200s. It's a very moving account of his martyrdom. Andrew confesses the glory of the crucified Christ, which astounds the Roman proconsul Agiatus. Andrew offers to teach him the mystery of the cross, to which Agiatus says, "Unless Andrew worships the Roman gods, you'll learn the mystery of the cross in thyself." Andrew answers, "If I'd been afraid of the tree of the cross, I should not have proclaimed the glory of it." The Acts of St. Andrew don't even mention him dying on an X-shaped cross. And that doesn't matter, because what Andrew testifies to in life and in death is not his cross, but the cross. Well, what first captivated him wasn't the cross, but the one who would die on it. And it was a disciple of John the Baptist. John identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God who carries away the sins of the world. And off Andrew goes to follow the sin-carrying Lamb. And then what does he do? The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Christ." Our Lutheran confessions say, our churches teach that we are to remember the history of the saints so that our faith may be strengthened when we see how they experienced grace and how they were sustained by faith. Even more, their good works are to be an example for us, each of us in his own calling. I probably won't have a chance to follow Andrew dying on a cross, X-shaped or not. But what about telling his brother right away that the Messiah had come? In this holiday season, you tend to see people you haven't seen for a while. So there are a lot of first things to tell. I've told first of special things, first of big things, first maybe even of sad things. But why hasn't a first thing ever been about Jesus? But hey, I may be a pastor, but I'm no apostle. Well, Andrew was always the groomsman. You know that expression, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Andrew was one of the first two disciples to follow Jesus, and he's the only one named. Yet the brother he later brought to Jesus becomes the chief apostle. You can say that's because Peter was brash and outspoken. He put himself out there. Andrew didn't. But then how come Andrew didn't at least make the inner circle of Peter, James, and John? Did Andrew wince when these three were chosen to witness the raising of Jairus' daughter, the transfiguration in Gethsemane? The only time Andrew makes the inner circle of the two brothers, James and John, and his brother Peter, it's quite a downer. It's during Holy Week, and he's sitting with Peter, James, John, and Jesus across from the temple. They privately asked Jesus, what did he mean when he said that one of these buildings was going to be left standing? And so Jesus told them about the destruction of Jerusalem, the end of the world. Andrew did not get to witness the ecstasy of resurrection and transfiguration or the angels sent to strengthen Jesus. He gets an earful about persecution, destruction, and how only the one who endures to the end is going to be saved. Oh, how it would irritate me to be the first to follow and not to make the top tier. Oh, how it would annoy me to see my brother chosen before me after I was the one who brought him to Jesus. And the dissing doesn't end here. At the climax of Jesus' ministry, when he is in the process of being lifted up on the cross so as to draw all men to himself, Greeks come asking to see Jesus. But do they go to Andrew? No, they go to Philip. Philip, who failed the test about how to feed the 5,000. Philip, who can't see the Father in Jesus. And what does the dunderhead Philip do? He goes to Andrew. And Andrew decides the matter needs to be taken to Jesus. Always the groomsman, never the groom. Centuries later, we legitimately ask, where have you gone, St. Andrew? But no one says, where have you gone, St. Peter? How is it that Andrew, who wasn't number one on Jesus' list, wasn't number one on the apostles' list, wasn't number one on anybody's list, has Jesus first on his own list? Questions, questions, questions. That's the life of Andrew. As soon as Jesus ascended, poof, he's gone from the New Testament. Peter isn't, John isn't. And then a nobody named Paul comes and takes center stage. We're left with more questions than answers, but that is fitting in the case of St. Andrew, because in the Bible, questions are a big part of his life. When Andrew and the other disciple of John followed John's direction to Jesus, Jesus turns and says, not as the insert interprets, what do you want? But, what do you seek? Ain't that a good question to start a new church year with? What do you seek? If you say fame, fortune, or fun, turn around right now. Do you think following the Lamb of God carrying the sins of the world on his shoulders is going to lead to fun, to happiness in this life? Do you think the one who went to the cross and led all but one of his apostles to a martyr's death is the key to fortune? Do you think the one who promised that men will cast out your name as evil for his sake is going to lead you to fame? No, at best, only infamy. Yet Andrew followed and got his brother to follow too. But to do that, what did he have to know? Where Jesus was staying. In response to Jesus asking, what do you seek? Andrew replies, where are you staying? What a great question to ask as we enter the secular holiday season. Yes, there's two things going on at this time of the year for Christians. There's Advent, the season of preparation and penitence, as we look for the Jesus who came the first time, will come a second time, and still comes today. But there's also an end of the year festival of goodwill among men called the holiday season going on. Enjoy the two. But don't mix the two. And asking where Jesus is staying, that helps keep them separate. The one who redeemed the world by living a perfect life in place of all sinners in the world is not found in good-natured elves, Magical Snowman, or in It's a Wonderful Life. The one who redeemed the world by suffering in place of and on behalf of all sinners is not found in the sufferings of Scrooge, of George, of the little girl looking for her miracle on 34th Street. He's not found in all the legends, traditions, and hearty goodwill among men this time of year. So we don't look for Jesus here, and certainly don't think we found him here. Where are you staying? The forgotten St. Andrew asks, and the always to be remembered Jesus says, come and you will see. Come to Advent services and you will see Jesus. Come to Sunday services and you will see Jesus. Come to baptism, come to absolution, come to communion, and you will see Jesus. This is Andrew-like following. Andrew came to the man Jesus to see the Lamb of God. Andrew came to the sin-carrying Lamb to find the answer to his sins. So you come to a building on earth to find heaven. You come to water not only to drown, but to rise. You come to the words of man to be forgiven for sins against God. You come to bread to find the body of Jesus and wine to find his blood. Deck the halls, break out the eggnog, hang those stockings, and give those presents to celebrate this end-of-the-year secular holiday. Just as you're going to grill burgers on the 4th of July and carve pumpkins on Halloween. But don't stay here, because Jesus doesn't. He stays where he has promised to be with you even to the end of the world. With you in words that are life, with you in water that is regenerating, with you in bread that is his body, and wine that is his blood. Stay in these, and you stay where Jesus is. St. Andrew asked one more question. It was at the feeding of the 5,000, and at first it seems a faux pas. After finding the boy with the bread and the fish, he asked Jesus, but what are these among so many? But what are our divine services, our season of repentance, our time of preparation? What are these over against the onslaught of the secular holiday season? They use our hymns as mood music in stores. They use parodies of our carols to flavor their commercials. They rip the Christ out of Christmas as well as the Mass, which is Holy Communion. And they still have the gall to wish us Merry Christmas. What is our small little season of Advent among the biggest secular celebration of the year? Well, what was weak Andrew among the might of the Roman Empire? What was Andrew's confession of faith in the face of the Roman leaders' demand to worship false gods? Everything. Absolutely everything. Whether or not Andrew died on an X-shaped cross, the world knows St. Andrew's cross is an X. What do they know about the Roman official who killed him? Nothing. Likewise, the secular holiday will be gone in about a month, leaving in its wake crumpled paper, a dead tree, and people glad it's over. But Jesus is here to stay. For that matter, so is St. Andrew. Though we might have forgotten him, Jesus never has. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and a life everlasting. Amen.